So, Jed, I was at the Marlins-Mariners game last night and came two outs away from seeing my second no-hitter by a Marlins pitcher. Two outs away. And the fans in Seattle were really excited that they broke up the no-hitter. I was a little disappointed.
Well, they don't have a lot to live for, those people.
I think that they won today, so the Mariners are feeling the vibe like they're doing.
The Mariners have a good team unless they're facing the lefties. They're basically like the American League Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the Dodgers have a bigger problem because they've faced 15 lefties to start the season,
and their lefty can't pitch anymore. Apparently,
is that right?
Because he has blisters on his fingers.
Oh, I was thinking of Kershaw. Was like, oh, that's the end of that.
The other one, yeah,
the other lefty, yes, Rich Hill, yes. The blisters.
I just forgot about, you know, Kershaw being left-handed. How dumb.
You know what he's got to do? He's got to get Moises Alou to come in and pee on his hands. Yeah, my dog's running around the apartment right now for some reason.
He's excited about, you know, Moises Alou peeing on someone's hands.
Hey, we all are.
Okay, so this is foul territory, not foul play.
Right.
John Sumple at John Sumple on Twitter. You're Jed Rigney at Jed Rigney on Twitter.
That's right. That's
and
me.
We have no bit this week, according to the notes here. So we're going to
Again, the bit is, hey, pause, go over to iTunes, review.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's all we're asking. This is an ad for you. And just think of the fun that you'll have, listener, like writing a review and clicking on five stars, five beautiful stars, or four, but five preferred, five lovely stars. This is really for you that we're doing this, not for us, but it's also for us.
And it's a good idea to have it at the front of the show. I think last week it was buried about 50 minutes in, and if we got somebody to listen that far, they probably might have fallen asleep before,
yeah.
But getting this right out front, if someone actually is listening, and say, go over to iTunes and give us a positive review, because reviews will help us get more listeners, two or three. So we want,
if we get another listener, that we're talking about double the number of listeners.
And we'll put our one listener in touch with the new listener, and then they can have a conversation about our show.
Or we could not do that if the one listener doesn't want that, because really the one listener should be able to do whatever they want, or not do whatever they don't want.
Well, I'll ask my mom what she prefers.
Okay, good.
So now we'll jump into what we got for headlines here this week. And the big headline over the weekend was Saturday was Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes.
And the world, every player was wearing number 42. And
I don't like that, by the way.
No?
I love celebrating the man's contribution to the game and what he went through. But all those 42s, man, I don't know what's going on.
It's a little confusing.
Though I will say, sort of ironic, it's easier, you got to use the color of the skin to tell them apart.
Yes, and that's ironic a little bit, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, here we are, we're celebrating diversity, but now we're going to have to use skin color, right? We're talking about being colorblind and like, hey, black and white playing together on the same field, but also I need to separate these guys out so I know who is who.
Right. Especially if you're at the game, because if you don't have binoculars and you can't tell, you're going to be like, oh, that person isn't who I thought he was.
Right.
But if I had his number, I'd know for sure.
Yes. Right. Or his name on the back.
Yeah. Even that would help. Yes.
Because that's what I'm saying is, who knows by the numbers anymore? That's old school, John. You just showed everyone how old you are.
I'm very old.
That people actually used to remember numbers.
I remember those days.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore, man. People are staring at their smartphones. They got pictures of people. They got the At Bat app by MLB that's showing them where the pitches are in the strike zone.
And the Yankees still do not have names on the back. So
that's right.
They're old school.
Is that for home and road, or is it just for home?
I think it's home and road. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for the Yankees. The
no facial hair thing.
And the no
those
facial
guys are
hair.
Just very modern.
And they are, and they're getting younger, and they're winning. Speaking of the Yankees, 8 in a row.
They won 8 in a row, and I think they're winning right now, or they won last night, or they won a couple days ago, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yes.
But yeah, they rattle off 8 in a row, solid pitching. Their offense, not in question, as we've talked about before. And of course, the bullpen is incredible. And then this Adam Warren that they got from the Cubs, He's been pretty lights out, and he's been doing multiple innings. And Tyler Clippard has been pitching well. Tyler Clippard, ladies and gentlemen.
And Warren was with the Yankees, then went to the Cubs, and went back to the Yankees. Yeah. So he's been with shuttled around a little bit. But he's got the ability to go spot starter and also long relief. And
they call that a swing man.
He's a swing man.
Yeah.
But they're offense.
Yeah,
has been
baby.
A big story.
Right. Yeah. You remember that Austin Powers?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone? All right.
But their offense has been the story so far.
Yeah.
Really, it has. But obviously, the bullpen is helping out. But, you know, Sabathia is even saying that this isn't his team anymore, and he's just along for the ride.
Well, also the free buffet.
The free buffet and of course, the final year of his, $17, $18 million contract. So I'm sure he's enjoying
the free
ride.
Buffet. He's enjoying the free buffet.
And they're doing this without Sanchez. Bird really hasn't been hitting either. So you've had
Chase Headley. Killing it.
Yeah, hit another home run tonight or yesterday or whatever, how many days ago.
Yes.
And the right fielder, drawing a blank, the 6 foot.
Judge?
Yes.
He's been doing good.
Yeah.
Man, has a lot of strikeouts, though.
He's a big boy. He's got the linebacker look to him.
Yeah, you almost think, why didn't this guy play football? But maybe 6'7 is what he is, or 6'6. Maybe that's a little too tall for football.
Big guy, yeah. Speaking of the Yankees doing well, you have the complete opposite with the Blue Jays.
Yes, the worst start to a season in the history of the franchise.
It's not looking good up in Toronto. Still early.
Yeah, even if you factor in the exchange rate, it's still terrible.
Yeah, they haven't had a lot to celebrate north of the border. They're not looking like a playoff team at all right now.
The main culprits are Josh Donaldson injured, Jose Bautista looking like a terrible, terrible signing and looks like his best days are behind him. Can't hit anything. Russell Martin, same thing, hitting under 100. Whew, that's a stinker. Steve Pierce, usually solid guy, right? Like played with the Orioles, played with the Rays. Stinker.
Yeah, and Justin Smoak is their starting first baseman. That's all you need to know.
That's rough. That's rough. You and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We thought they were the second best team or third best team in that division, and they just look terrible.
Yeah, pitching hasn't been good. Offense hasn't been good. Defense hasn't been good. But
that's
again,
pretty much all the game.
Yeah, they're
that's pretty much all the game.
They're misfiring on all cylinders right now.
Yes,
but plenty of time. That's one of the beauty things.
Yeah,
of baseball.
just the first 10 days or whatever, 15 days.
Yeah, they've got to right the ship. You know, it could go south pretty quick if they don't turn it around. I mean, when you're 8-9 games under 500, that's a lot of ground to make up.
I wonder if they have trading pieces. If they, let's say they fall, eight games out by the All-Star break.
Oh, there'll be a fire sale.
You think? I mean, I think that's one of the things of that ownership is that's why they got rid of Anthopoulos is because they didn't like the money they were spending. So won't they trade? You think they could trade like Josh Donaldson?
Yep.
And
I think Donaldson will be gone. I think Tulowitzki will be gone. I think Bautista will be gone. I think they'll eat a lot of the money just to dump the future contract. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Restock that farm system.
It would be a smart play. It's worked for a couple of other teams, Astros and Cubs in particular.
Yeah. Or even Yankees.
And Yankees and White Sox too, looking in the same path. So that's the latest trend is getting rid of your high paid players and going with young and developing players. And hey, look, it works.
Or maybe they'll trade Donaldson to the A's.
Maybe they'll be a playoff contender.
Yeah, maybe, right? For Kendall Graveman and Franklin Barreto. I think
there
that's those are still valuable players, right?
Yeah.
Like that wasn't a complete sham of a...
No,
it was
not.
Still pretty bad.
No.
Still pretty bad.
It'll be... what do they call that? Takebacks or...
that's right. Yeah. Indian giving.
Indian giving. That's what I was trying to think of.
Very good. That's what we racistly call Indian giving.
Yes. Man, that is kind of bad, isn't it?
I wonder what
the origins of that are.
Well, it's giving things to Indians and then taking them back.
Right.
But
how far, when did that all start? Was that something
probably Columbus, right?
Probably goes back that far.
Here are some pox infested blankets. No, we'll take them back, but you can keep the smallpox.
Speaking of trying to swindle people, how about Starling Marte and his 80-game ban for PED usage?
Yeah, you and I have talked about these PEDs before. We don't really care that much, but I wanted to talk about this one because I think this really messes up the Pirates, doesn't it? Like, that's a 5-win player.
It's a big name player having it happen, you know, in the middle of the season, but in the season. It wasn't an off season thing. It's in the season. It's at the beginning of a season. It's at when you're still hopeful and the team wasn't doing horribly. But that's a huge blow. He's their best player right now.
Yeah, I mean he's such an exciting player. Hits for a little bit of power, lots of speed. Good defender. They had him playing center field instead of McCutchen because McCutchen's lost a step. But now McCutchen swings back over. They have a young guy, Austin Meadows, in the minor leagues, but I'm not sure he's quite ready. Still striking out quite a bit on AAA pitching. But who knows? Maybe it was one of those guys where, like Francisco Lindor, he just comes up and when it's the show, he plays. So,
I wasn't quite sure if I understood what his explanation was. It almost sounded like, oh, I was naive and I didn't know what I was doing. It's like, you knew what you were doing. And that's just a nicely wordsmithed apology for, you know, trying to build the system.
Yeah, trying to get a little edge, right? But also, if he comes back, or when he comes back, because of course he is going to come back, he's not eligible for the playoffs.
And that's the killer for
me. That's another thing, especially for this team. Like,
yeah, it's if you were to get all the way to the one game playoff, and then you're lose your best player who's helped you get there in the second half of the season once they return, that's a pretty big loss, you know, a double hit. Not to say that they're going to get there, but it would be not ironic, but unfortunate if he did get there. And
it's like, rain on your wedding day, John.
Yeah. I'm gonna be humming that song now for the rest of the week. Great, thanks. That was fantastic. And one of the things that's been interesting about this season has been, you know, now that we have the 10-day DL.
Yeah.
We seem to be throwing that thing out. I mean, everybody's. I think by the end of the season, every player in the league will have been on the 10-day DL.
Yeah,
it just seems like everybody's going on.
I have mixed feelings about it, right? Because, like, sometimes the guy doesn't need the full 15, and they just sort of keep him around the team. But then maybe it would have been 7, but then they're like, well, if it's just 10, then, yeah, we'll just put on the DL for 10 days. It becomes like this big mathematical equation, I think, whereas the 15-day DL was like...
It was a bigger hit. So now you can look over a 2-week period or 10-day period, week and a half period, and say, well, we're going to need more bats because we're going to be going into a scenario. So who's got an ache or a pain? We're going to throw them on the 10-day and get a minor league bat in here to help us out. Or if we're going into an American League park and we need an extra bat, or an extra arm, we're going to do what we need to do. It just is a little bit weird. There just seems to be a lot of injuries in the very beginning of the season that I don't recall seeing so many.
Yeah, I mean, some of them seem, you know, like they're, you know, like Gary Sanchez and Josh Donaldson. These are, you know, like a month or whatever. But then we have Zach Britton from the Orioles. You know, he's got a little, what is it, forearm tightness, which some forearm tightness is a precursor to Tommy John surgery, which is not awesome. But they're saying his is a little closer to his wrist, the soreness, so it's not quite the same. And he's traveling with the team, and he's not getting any other treatment or anything. So maybe he wouldn't have gone on the DL, and they would have just benched him for 7 or 8 games.
Right. But they do it now because they can pick up an extra player for that 10-day period.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a little working of the system, you know, going on with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Dodgers have been working this injury system for the last couple of years. I mean, they've been sending guys down and bringing them up, and this guy's injured, and that guy's... And I think, you know, with a guy like Rich Hill, who is such an excellent pitcher when he's pitching, I was very close, by the way, to trading for Rich Hill in a fantasy baseball league, the one that you and I are in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was a little bit like, you know, I think I'll let me see him pitch a little bit. Let's see what happens, and then I'll make up my mind. And then he comes out, pitches 3 innings, blister comes back. He's back on the 10-day DL. Mm-hmm. So maybe he should have had a 15-day DL in the first place, but it allows the team a little more flexibility. So I right now I think I mostly like it.
And there's some talk about, oh, they're rushing him back from the first 10-day and he got the blister again.
Right.
It's like, well, he had the whole off season to recover and get his hands all nice and fingers all nice and healed and ready to go. He was fine.
Telling you, Moises Alou's got to get in there. More pee all over that thing.
That could be a new product.
Yeah, that'll be our next sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Moises Alou's urine.
Hey, this is
Do you have blisters? Well, you're in for a treat.
That's good. Hey, I'm going to go off the board a little bit here. I don't know if you saw this transaction last week, but I love this guy's name. The Orioles acquired from the Brewers this player, right-hander, Damian Magnifico.
Nice.
Is that a great name? That might be the
best.
That is
spectacular. It's spectacular-o.
It's Magnifico. Damian Magnifico. That's a fantastic name. So he's a 25-year-old, career 3.98 ERA. So we'll have to keep an eye on.
But here's the thing, though. Magnifico. Like, isn't he almost guaranteed to be a disappointment?
He has. I mean, it's very hard to live up to that expectation. And unfortunately, too, for him, that name has followed him around forever. And I'm sure people.
Well, probably since birth.
Yeah. Unless he just added something to it. And he's like, Dad, I don't want to go by Smith. I want to go
wasn't
by
there an LA,
Magnifico.
Wasn't there an L.A. a mayor who did that? The Villa Robos or something like that?
I'm not sure.
Like his last name was actually Robos, but then it was like, oh, no, it's Villa Robos.
He wanted to make it more spectacular.
He made it more spectacular, and so it became like, oh, people were like, oh, look at this guy. And it was an L.A. thing. No one cares. No one cares about local politics. All politics is local.
Speaking of politics, Jeb Bush, who was competing with Derek Jeter.
What? Did you see that segue? Amazing segue.
Wasn't that fantastic? So Jeb Bush, who was competing
with Magnifico.
I set that all up. It was premeditated. So Jeb Bush had been competing with Derek Jeter for the potential ownership group for the Marlins. But apparently, as of today, they've united forces to move through the bid process together.
I like it.
And they're going up against some major New York investor that has a lot of money behind him. So obviously it made sense for them to kind of bring their two groups together, because I think MLB is definitely in favor of a Derek Jeter-owned team.
Yeah, I think that's a win-win. Yeah. I think the league is much better off with him being actively involved. I mean, even if it's just in that sort of Magic Johnson capacity for the Dodgers, like such a great what's the word? Ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Jeb Bush is a great ambassador for baseball, but I seem like a nice enough guy, right? Did I ever tell you my optometrist swore he was like, I'm sitting there getting my eye test. He's like, you know who's going to win the election? Jeb Bush. And this guy went on for 5 minutes while he was testing my eyes about how Jeb Bush was going to win the Republican nominee and then the presidency.
Wow.
Anyway.
That was, he was a little off.
Yeah, a little off. Second of all, as I'm telling the story, I'm realizing it's a terribly uninteresting story. I've managed to combine politics and
optometry
into one story.
Yeah, that's, you don't hear a lot of baseball podcasts talk
it's
about
exponential
optometry.
Exponential boredom. Like, how did I, anyway, let's move on.
Well, let's just make sure. Well, maybe we should talk to him and find out, you know, when it comes down to the World Series next year, who he's pulling for or put our money on the other team.
This guy was dead certain Jeb Bush was going to. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And he was like, no, mark it. I'm like, all right.
I'll be interesting to see how
better
that plays
now?
Out.
Better now? Better now?
This or this?
Before.
This or this?
This or this?
Trump
Jeb Bush.
Or Bush. Trump
or
Bush.
Oof. Please like, clap.
He's like, I think it's Bush. I think it's Bush.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, too, with the winner in all of this. Baseball, obviously, I think wins in the long run. But Laurier walks away for a team he spent a couple hundred million to acquire back in 2002-ish, 2001. And he'll be walking away with a price tag they're talking about of $1.7 billion.
Oh, it's easily. Crazy. Easily. And have you seen the puff pieces about Loria popping up now?
There was a really good
one. He's a misunderstood. Come on, John.
No,
he's a monster. This guy's Ted Bundy.
The Krasnick article in ESPN was an interesting insight.
I used to be such a fan of Jerry Krasnick, but the older he's gotten, the more just like, what are you talking about, man? Anyway,
but it was.
I don't want to hear about how Jeffrey Lurie is a great guy. I don't want to hear about that.
I don't think it was about that he was a great guy as much as there was a soft spot that he had for Jose Fernandez and how much he meant to him, which I thought was genuine based on what I
So he didn't have a cold, complete disregard for all human life. That's a great headline.
No, just, maybe everybody but Jose.
That's what I'm saying. So not all individuals on the planet were despised by Jeffrey Lurie.
And there was one person that was interviewed in that article said that he's known him for, you know, since he purchased the team, and he's been the greatest boss ever and has nothing but positive say. He's warm and friendly and great to his family and just all that good stuff.
I believe all that. I believe that person doesn't want to be fired and doesn't want to have to go on unemployment.
Well, speaking of the Marlins, one of their employees may have been an employee, may have been a plant, but it worked out to be a good thing from a PR perspective. Is the cat that came out onto the field during the game last week? That was actually quite funny, and Rich Waltz did a fantastic job with the play-by-play with the cat, especially as the cat, you know, climbed the fence. I think Waltz was genuinely shocked and surprised and awed by the whole effort of the cat to get up onto the home run monstrosity out in the outfield and basically hang out there for the rest of the game.
Well, you know, cats do like fish, and a Marlin is a fish.
And he was up in the fish tank, right? He was up in that home run with the big Marlin things.
Yeah.
Going through the air.
The not gaudy.
Yeah. So now he's been deemed spectacle. By the Marlins.
It's magnifico. It's magnifico. And filled with Moises Alou's urine.
Well, the Marlins are now taking advantage of that and calling it the rally cat, which is kind of stupid because they were winning the game and won the game when the cat came out. So he was really not a rally cat, but they're promotionally using that as hashtag rally cat, which is, I don't
know.
Nice. I kind of liked it when the Florida Panthers, when Scott Mellenby slapshot a rat into the wall of the old Miami Arena, and that became the whole rat thing that they did back in the 90s. That was cool. But, you know, nobody picked up the cat and, you know, maimed it in any way to give it some significance.
You know, Stanton could have given that thing a ride, though.
He could have.
You throw that cat in a home plate, Stanton's taking it yard.
He would. He would send that cat to another area code. Okay. Let's keep going on. We've got a couple other things here. MLB umpires may soon be using microphones to explain replays. I'm not a big fan on this. It's like it's becoming more and more like football and now basketball.
Yeah, also, you know why you're not a fan of it, John? Because it's stupid.
It is just, what are they going to do? Have advertising on their shoulders or on their caps while they're making the announcement? And I don't know. It just is
We called him safe because he was safe.
I don't need an explanation.
I think baseball fans know that, like, even if they're getting it wrong, we know why they're calling him.
Well, there's three possible outcomes. He was safe.
Wait, strikeout, home run, and walk?
No, he was safe.
Oh, sorry, those are the three true outcomes. Sorry.
So he was safe, he was out, or it was inconclusive.
Right.
Therefore, he was safe or out. So, yeah. I mean, I can look at the replay. I might not always agree with the decision, but I know that the reason why it went against what I thought it was going to be is because they felt it was inconclusive, and I'm okay with that. Those are the three possibilities. I'm fine. Let's move. You know, let's not do this. We don't need. Yeah. You know,
we don't need to waste another 8 seconds.
Unless it's a Rico Palazzo, then I might be interested.
Wow, that would be spectacular.
I might be interested in hearing him. That would be great.
Look, if they were going to slow jam. Right? Or like a little bit of like a Def Jam poetry, explain it.
If there's moonwalking involved when they're doing it, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm sold on that. Yeah, entertainment.
Like the batter slid into second base. It looked at first glance like he was safe.
Keep going.
Upon further review from New York City, our call turned out to be pretty shitty.
Wow. You're ready for poetry slam night, aren't you?
Boom!
That's good. I like that. We might have to pull that nugget out and promote it on our website.
Yes.
So people would be like, what is this? Is this
what the hell is this
podcast? That's funny. We're having a good time. That's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
Okay. Now, one other thing.
Also, each week we've had more listeners than the previous week.
So something's happening.
Something is happening. So we joke about listener, but actually it's listeners.
And we appreciate each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And we really
We're self-deprecating that way.
Right. And it helps, you know, kind of make you connect with us because you feel sorry for us because we're constantly, you know, beating ourselves up for things that we say, do, and make fun of ourselves. So
yeah.
A couple other things. First base, there was MLB auctions.
Yes.
And they were auctioning off different memorabilia from the World Series last year. And first base used in Game 7, the base that was out there at the end of the game, sold for a significant amount of money.
Yeah, $100,000.
That's a big price tag for a base.
It's weird. It's weird when someone can win an auction but still be a loser. $100,000 for the base? Like, what are you going to do? Like, yeah, no, that's the base. Oh, Joe, what do you get? That looks like a baseball base. Yeah, no, it's the one from the World Series. Oh, it looks like any base. Well, that's because it is just a base.
It's like, what are you going to do with that base, Joe? Yeah. Well, my kids are going to put it out in the backyard. They're going to, you know, play with it. And, you know, it'll be, you know, they're part of their little baseball field. You know, I figure it'd be a fun thing for them to have. That's something that goes into Cooperstown or goes into the Cubs, you know,
yeah.
Hall of Fame or their museum that they have. That's not something that I would do.
Look, I'm just glad the guy who bought it isn't collecting heads in his freezer. Or maybe he is.
Maybe he is. We'll find that out, you know, down the road. And there was a couple other things that I thought were kind of interesting.
Whoa! Yeah, are these not on the
these are
the
off
lineup?
The record? Yeah, these are.
All right, so I'm going to go full blown improvise here.
You're
I
improvise.
Have no idea what's
you have
coming.
No idea what's going to happen. So one of them you got to be aware of because it's one of your boys.
Uh oh,
Mookie with his he has been as of I think two
he struck
at-bats.
Out tonight.
Oh, he did. He was 130.
Yeah, he struck out tonight.
So I knew that was going to happen because when I turned off the TV, he was at 130 and counting. And I think the highest in the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years was 147 games by Juan Pierre back in 2003 with the Marlins. That's a pretty significant statistic.
Also, compare who that is. Juan Pierre is slap hitter.
Right.
Full contact guy. Mookie Betts, home run hitter.
Right.
But yeah, he got... Liriano got him tonight.
So just in case people don't know what the hell we're talking about, is the Betts had been 100.
Does that matter?
Going into the game tonight, he was 128 at-bats without striking out. He made it through his first two at-bats, and then apparently as the game wore on, he got his first strikeout. So that becomes a kind of a wah-wah because it's not still going on. But
still an impressive
stat. And then earlier this week, Josh Harrison had been hit by a pitch on four consecutive at-bats over two games.
Yes.
Which is unusual.
Yes. You know who led the league last year, speaking of which? Starling Marte.
Did he really?
Yeah. That was sort of his jam.
That was the slow jam?
Yeah, that was his slow. Uh-oh, here we go. pitch is looking a little inside. He leans into it. All right, I'll stop. Okay.
No, but it is interesting is that Harrison joins Craig Biggio. And John Jay, who are the only players in the last...
Wait, the Federalist John Jay?
No. John Jay from his time with the Cardinals in 2014.
Okay.
Biggio in 2000, John Jay
in 2014. This guy helped write the Constitution, and he's getting hit by pitches.
Yeah, I think Alexander Cartwright hit him. So we're going back to 80 years. There's only three players that get hit by two pitches in two straight games. That's pretty impressive.
It's impressive.
Yeah. So
I guess
I thought that was a little interesting.
No, it's certainly interesting,
and it's worthy
of mentioning.
You know, it shows that we're kind of plugged in on, you know, the little things.
Does it?
I don't know. I'm just rambling now.
Or it just shows that we like small shiny objects.
We do. We are. Those are the type of things I think that do catch our eye, and I think you scour the news for the extra innings. I know.
Yes.
Unless they're headlines, and we'll get to extra innings in a little bit. There's a few things that happened today in particular that kind of screamed, hey, this is an extra innings headline, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. So that's all for our headlines for today.
That's right.
And now we're moving into starting nine. Last week we talked about in honor of the NHL playoffs, and we kind of joked around, well, this week the NBA playoffs are starting, so let's talk about NBA teams or NBA sounding names for this week's starting nine. And lo and behold, that's what's on the show sheet.
And I'm going to say, I thought the hockey one was disappointing.
Uh-oh, this is going to go lower?
This is awful.
See, but you set me up last time with how bad it was, and it was good. So
but this one's actually really bad. The last one turned out to be bad because it was bad for me on a personal level. This is just bad.
Okay.
Here we go.
Bring it on.
Larry Bird, Greg Bird. Okay. See what I'm talking about?
I'm yeah. They're okay. It's gonna get better. I can.
Clyde Frazier, Todd Frazier.
Okay.
Bill Russell, Addison Russell. Seeing a pattern here?
See, now the fact that there is, it's just funny that. Okay, keep going. I'm sure.
Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points at one game. Jabba Chamberlain.
Oh boy, and he's famous for having gnats around him, isn't he? I think that's probably.
Oh right, there it was. It wasn't gnats. It was
the bugs in Cleveland. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
The Cleveland bugs.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good. What else we got? Oh, I'm mixed up a little bit. Kobe Bryant, Chris Bryant.
Wow. These are spectacular.
This is pretty great. I told
I
you.
I think, but this you intentionally said, you know what, this week I'm going to go.
No. Okay. First of all, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no MJ. Okay. There's nobody. There's no Jordan. There's no. There's some Michaels, but who cares? Everyone's got a Michael. And then, there's not even a player with the initials MJ in baseball right now.
How about MJ when he played with the White Sox? MJ. MJ.
But he's not an active player.
I know. I'm just joking.
Ironically, I think there was a Bill Russell baseball player, wasn't there?
There was, a shortstop for the Dodgers,
right? So you have a Bill Russell past baseball. Anyway, who cares? All right, what else we got? This one's a little bit of a thing, right? Oscar Robertson, one of the greats, right? Teoscar Hernandez.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. Not exactly on the nose. Anyway, oh, wait a minute. Oh, God. Oscar Robinson's nickname is the Big O.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that baseball player whose last name is O.
Oh, there you go.
I ruined it.
You had a gem.
I had one gem, and I pooped all over it with Teoscar Hernandez.
But you pulled it back in.
All right. I don't know if I pulled anything. All right. Shaquille O'Neal. Tyler O'Neal.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw out a Shaquille. I was going to be like, I don't know any baseball players named Shaquille.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you were like Shaq, right? Like, mm-hmm. Is there a Shaq? Well, there's House, right? TJ House?
Mm-hmm. Shaq.
House is Shaq? I don't know. I'd rather live in a house than a Shaq, but then I'd rather be Shaquille O'Neal than TJ House. Little known lefty for the Indians.
Right.
All right. Karl Malone, Tommy Malone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, at least the names are differently spelled, so that's a good thing.
Right, but special mention to Sam Malone.
There you go. The former Boston Red Sox great.
The former Boston Red Sox relief pitcher and bartender of Cheers.
There you go. That was awesome.
And then last and definitely least, I have Ryan LeBron James.
Okay.
Yeah. See? Yeah. I told you it was terrible.
See, but the middle
the
part.
The Big O one was okay.
Yeah, that kind of worked out. There's always humor, even when it doesn't seem that there's going to be. We can always somehow pull.
But wouldn't it be nice if there was also humor?
Just even saying that makes it kind of humorous. So yeah. Is this
as they all laugh at my pain? Yes, hilarious.
So is this next segment a new segment, or
right?
A variation
of
an old segment? What do you?
So
got?
For the new listener. Because I think I feel comfortable in saying it's one new listener.
And you know who you are.
Welcome. I started off with a three up, three down. It was three players that are performing up and three players that are performing down. And I got tired of that because I didn't like transitioning to the next player that is up. Because I think that sounds weird and I don't like sounding weird. So then I came up with hot or not. And I just don't like that. So what I'm trying to do here is a new segment called Are You Buying It? And what we do is we look at players that are performing well and poorly. And John asks me if I am buying it. If I believe what the person's doing to any degree or if it's an anomaly and will soon regress to whatever. Though technically all real huge outliers of performance will regress. Are the elements there to sustain it to some degree? That's okay. A new segment. Are you buying it? Or as I like to call it, AYBI.
And I'm learning about this for the very first time live right now, or recorded based on when you're... It's obviously recorded because no one's listening to it live other than our wives probably and your dog.
Yes.
I like that idea. I think it's good. So based on just a quick look, I think there's some lively conversation here because these are not household names. They're well-known names, but some are young, some are reclamation projects, and some are had promise for a long time, and some have won hardware and in the past and aren't doing so well. But let's go through them one at a time.
Yes, and then the key to this also. You're not going to find Mike Trout on this list.
No, you're not.
You're not going to find Clayton Kershaw. We all know those are great players.
Right. These are people that are they really going to be able to sustain what they're doing? Are they going to become household names? Is this something that we can look forward to on a continued basis? So, yeah. And I think there's a couple of people on here that I think will have long careers that are going to be, I don't ever say they're in the Trout Kershaw category, but they will graduate away from this list and we will never talk about them again.
Quite possibly. I could say definitely there is one on here that we will never discuss again because I am buying it.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
I'll bet you do.
Okay, let's start off with Eric Thames, Milwaukee. He's the reclamation project. Are you buying it?
Now, here's the thing. We still don't know for sure whether it's Thames or Timms.
I heard Thames on the watching MLB today when they were cutting into the game. Or actually, it was on live on MLB. So I heard they called him Thames.
And the home announcers called him Thames? Is that what you're saying?
No, it wasn't the home announcers. Actually, it was the Cubs announcer. So
all right.
They may be wrong.
I think it's Thames.
Let's go with that.
Let's do 10 minutes on this. Okay, first of all, am I buying it? Yes, I'm buying it. Here's the deal. Obviously, I'm not buying him sustaining this production as like a 300 WRC plus, which is, for those who don't know the advanced metrics, like an inhuman, superhuman, X-Men human level of hitting that no one has ever or could ever sustain. What a great signing by the Brewers. Mm-hmm. $15 million for 3-5 years? Like, unbelievable. Why did no one else get on this guy? He was killing it in Korea. Big homers, big patience at the plate, which he didn't have when he was first in the United States. And the guy is hitting the crap out of the ball. Lefties, righties, he's walking. He's hitting for power. I don't think he's going to, hit 70 home runs, but this guy could do 40, 45 home runs easy. He's already got 7.
Yeah, and he's got a great show beard, too.
Yes.
That's just an awesome beard.
He's got some holes in his swing, right? He's going to strike out. He's going to slump a little. They always do when they got the big holes in the swing. But, man, this guy is,
And I think his BABIP was exciting. Like 485, which is unheard of.
Yes. So that's obviously that means it's going to come down, because no one has a four. Like, here's the thing. Trout has like a 360 BABIP average, right? So that's the best you're looking for a power hitter with a little big swing and miss. Trout's got a bit of swing and miss, right? So that's going to come down 100 points at least. But still, he's a fantastic player, even minus 100 points of batting average. So,
and productivity is actually helping the Brewers be better than anybody thought they would be. And Braun has had a pretty hot start as well. Their pitching's still a little suspect, but they're scoring runs.
Yeah,
although they blew the game today against the Cubs. They were up 4-1, and I think they lost 7-4 after giving up. They were up 4-3 in the ninth and lost 7-4. So,
yeah, I mean they have Knebel.
Yes. Yeah.
Keebler. I don't know. And he's been excellent, but he was shaky today. And then Pedro Feliz, right? Is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, throwing 100 miles an hour as a closer. Like, he'll probably wind up getting traded midseason. But who knows? Maybe this team hangs around and, outperforms. This was the team you and I talked about. They didn't have anyone projected to be an exceptional player, but they had the most players projected to be average. Mm-hmm. So who knows? A couple guys catch fire. Ryan Braun, Eric Thames, Timms/Timms. Who knows?
No,
Travis Shaw has been solid.
Yeah, he hit another home run today. I think he's got three or four home runs. So yeah, it's been a big. They've been a surprise, definitely for sure.
Yeah, so I'm buying it.
Okay, how about Avisel Garcia?
I am not buying it.
No.
Here's the thing: guys who don't walk a lot and have holes in their swings tend to go on streaks. He's on a big streak right now, but his BABIP, his batting average on balls in play, is something like 550.
That's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. So it's going to come down to more like 300, and all of his other numbers will come down as well. But
he better sign that contract extension right now.
Yeah.
Find right somebody now. Will listen to.
Like, he should listen to this podcast and then go, you know what?
Agent.
I'll take the extension now.
Right. Yeah, he's, again, another one of those positive stories because the White Sox have been playing well.
Yeah.
And
this is his last shot. Like, if he doesn't do anything here, that's it. He's gone out of the league. No one wants him. So put something together, maybe sticks around for another few years. If he can push this out, what would you say, like through half a season, right?
Yeah, he'll be a trade candidate.
He'll extend his career by a couple of years because I think he goes to the minors if he just has another Avisel Garcia year. Mm-hmm. And those of you listening know exactly what I mean.
We all have those every now and then.
Hey, it happens to the best of us, man. I've had a couple in a row that were just like, wow.
And you shook him off and you had more of an Eric Thames. Yeah. Thames.
That's
right.
Got a little comeback. Eric Thamesy thing going. Yeah, exactly. And I'm buying it. I'm buying me.
I'm in. I'm all in on you.
Oh, good. Wait, what?
Yeah, that
that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah,
John.
That's a different podcast for another day and another audience. that could be taken out of context and used against me. So I'm not running for politics anytime soon.
Those aren't pillows.
Famous movie lines for 100. Okay, how about Francisco Lindor?
Oh, no, I'm buying it.
Yeah, he's
buying it.
But the power, where did that come from?
I'm half buying the power. But okay. I'm buying the contact. Here's the thing. Everyone thought this guy was going to be a defensive gem, right? Like, that was his main thing. This guy's going to be the next, you know, I don't want to say Ozzie Smith because, you know, whatever. You don't say the best ever. But, like, a really good shortstop defensively. He was one of the few of these young shortstops coming up where they were just like, no, this guy can stay at the position. He's got the moves. He's got the, you know, the style. He's got the flash. He can do all the stuff. He doesn't have to move over to third because he's going to get too giant like Corey Seager might or Carlos Correa. Anyway, so he's started hitting as soon as he came up, and he has not stopped hitting. And he's suddenly, you know, one of the best hitters in the league. Plus, he plays an elite position at shortstop. This guy right now is, you know, looking like MVP. And obviously, there's going to be some regression, but his batting average on balls in play is not that high right now. It's in the mid-300s, very sustainable. Mm-hmm. And that team is going to win. It's not doing so great right now. It's sort of finding its feet. But that's a good position for a player, and that's just a great, exciting player, fun to watch. I'm buying it.
And they're playing in a division right now where everybody's underperforming, and they'll wind up beating each other up. So I think three of the teams are 6 or 7 and 9, and the Tigers are the class of the division right now, which
I think that's going to be a gruesome.
Yeah. It could be ugly. That could be, you know, the division winner could wind up with 85, 86 games. Could be ugly.
Yeah. Or they could just spike suddenly and, you know, well, and click. Could, and
yeah.
Especially and the could, Indians. Cause Indians they have, could. Cause they have, what do they have in the outfield right now? Are they having they sent Naquin down, right?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, I think they sent Naquin down, and they're putting Lonnie Chisenhall in center field, right? Instead of it's a third baseman, and for those of you who don't know, third basemen don't play center field.
Yeah, so he went from third to right, now to center.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they'll be all in the trade market.
Pull up Greg Allen from the minor leagues. Mm-hmm.
Got some prospects that can...
They got prospects.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's move on to, and this is the one I think is your all-in buying on, James Paxton.
Absolutely. Top prospect for the Mariners for a few years, and then last year adds...
Figured it out last year.
Figured it out, 2 miles per hour added to his fastball. Still a little wild last year, but this guy, oof, so good. Strikeouts, big, with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball from the left side, which is basically like a 98-mile-an-hour fastball from the right side. Such an exciting player for the Mariners, pitcher for the Mariners. So far, has he given up any runs yet?
Nope.
And he runs.
He goes tomorrow, too, so we'll see if he can keep his...
He goes today or yesterday. He goes on Thursday. And he's back on Thursday.
21 innings, no runs yet.
Yeah, and just... the control is a thing, or command or whatever. I never really understand the difference between those two things. And probably if you're listening to this, you don't either.
You're just here for the humor.
I'm just here for the humor and the, you know.
Get on to the extra innings, guys. Come on. Stop talking baseball.
Come on. But I love him. I think he's spectacular. In a fantasy baseball capacity, I wish I had him in more leagues. I have him in at least half my leagues. He's just, he's one of those young pitchers coming up that figured it out and is now just so fun to watch. It's, he's like Syndergaard or, I'm not saying he's Kershaw or he's going to be at Kershaw's level, but Kershaw started off a little wild, and it took him a little while to get stuff figured out, and he doesn't even throw 97. So, of course, he has that crazy control or command or whatever. But anyway, so I love him. I'm buying.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how far. I mean, he's going to take over the mantle from Felix as their top pitcher if he hasn't already. Felix.
Felix is a symbolic top pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's still pretty solid. He's got the 3 ERA, 3.5. Doesn't have the strikeouts he used to have.
No, and he's throwing. He's pitching more now than throwing. He's not. He's learning how to. He's throwing a lot more junk than he ever has before. Yeah. And he was ineffective. The first four batters got on base today, and they wound up winning the game anyway. And he didn't pitch great, but he got the victory.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
Could be great for Paxton too, because like he doesn't have to be the ace.
Doesn't have to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be exciting to watch, especially if they're competitive throughout the year and games are more meaningful. And for like most areas, when teams are performing well, fans show up, and Seattle shows up in droves when their teams are doing well. So it'll be exciting to see if he can continue with his success. Felix can be somewhat his former self, and they can, get into the hunt. That would be fun here. So I'm rooting for him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
How about another reclamation project, Irvin Santana?
I'm not buying it. But I'm not buying it completely. I'm not buying it completely. I'd rent it. Okay? I'm already shifting this segment. Okay, so I would rent it because here's the thing. He's a good pitcher, right? He's always been like a good pitcher. He's had some outstanding time seasons. I think for the Angels, he had like a really great season once. And he has a better catcher this year than he's had previously with Jason Castro, who is an excellent pitch framer.
Right.
And so you're going to see all the Minnesota pitchers pitching a little bit better. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And Irvin Santana is taking advantage. I don't think he's going to be, whatever, 1 ERA. It's going to come back up. But 3.2, he keeps this up. He could easily be an all-star. He has the pieces in place. He has a great defense behind him. Or a very good defense, right? Got Byron Buxton, who can't hit anything, keeps striking out, but he's catching everything, It's like,
Of right now,
like a Vegas prostitute, he's catching everything. I don't know.
So Santana, 22 innings pitched, 0.41 ERA.
0.41 is crazy.
And a 0.45 whip. So he's 15 strikeouts.
Yeah.
5 walks, 3 wins. I mean, he's leading the league in wins right now. So that's pretty impressive. And again, one of the reasons why the Twins have been a surprise.
So not buying it.
Might not be sustainable. Probably won't be sustainable.
Renting it.
Not even leasing to buy, but a lease option to buy, but definitely worth the rent. Okay. Yeah. So one of your teams, the man with the hardware from last year.
You mean the Cy Young Award winner from last year?
That was, I would assume, even Red Sox fans were aware that last year was probably an anomaly and be grateful that it happened, because there were no signs really that that was going to happen at that
this
level.
This is Rick Porcello, by
the way. Rick Porcello, yeah. So here we are, and he's getting lit up like a Christmas tree. I think his ERA is over 7, isn't it?
And, of course, I'm not buying that he's going to wind up with an ERA over 7. He's going to wind up with an ERA around 4. This is what he does. He gives up runs. That's what he does. He strikes out people sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't strike them out. Gives up a couple lazy home runs. He reminds me a bit of Michael Pineda on the Yankees, where it just seems like, you know, you throw him off a little bit, and that's the end of it. He's off, and he gets inside his head. And
well, he's whatever, like the anti-Chris Sale. Chris Sale goes out, dominates, and loses 2-1.
Exactly.
Porcello goes out there and wins, you know, 7-5.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, like Porcello had that, we talked about this, that moment in the playoffs where he was cruising along against the Indians, and then the umpire missed that one curve that was a strike, called it a ball, and the next two batters hit a home run off of him, just because he just gets that way about, you know, whatever. It's a delicate thing, the art of pitching. And so, but he gets thrown off by that stuff. And he does that in games, almost every game. I can't stand having him on any of my fantasy baseball teams, because I just feel like the next inning is always potentially that nightmare inning with Porcello. But I think I'm not buying the 7, but I am looking at a 4, and so I'm not buying that, and I'm not renting it. And if I could sell it to someone else, I would.
Well, for your, as a fan, from a fan's point of view, you better hope that that is not something that he sustains throughout the year, because that would not bode well.
If he goes down to 4, though, that's all the team
needs.
Right,
but if he stays above 5, that's not going to be good.
He's coming down to 4.
Okay. You heard it here first, coming down to 4. Okay, that takes us through our...
All right, well, that was a much better experience for me than the hot or not.
Yeah,
it
was much more of a discussion as opposed to, oh, okay, do you think he's hot or do you think he's not?
Right. Plus, all the buying puns, I think we're going to be able to ride that for quite some time.
It's on sale at Macy's. I'm buying. Okay, extra innings. Let's take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. And we had some two big news events today. One of them, you know, kind of sad, but not really. He kind of like got what Aaron Hernandez hung himself this morning in his cell after obviously serving a life term, but he actually was found exonerated in the double murder of some folks up in the Boston area.
Now, this is one death we know for sure he's responsible
for. He's responsible for this one for sure, absolutely. And what great timing, if there is such a thing, is that the Patriots were with Donald Trump today in D.C., and a former player hangs himself in his cell.
It's like rain on your wedding day, John.
Again. Wow. Too rough. Now I'm going to be singing this in the shower when I'm walking down the street. It's going to be gnawing away at me. But yeah, you talk about, I mean, this is one of those things, and you know, I'm not going to try to glorify this guy in any way, because he got what he deserved. He's a member of society, and there's no rules that are different for people like him. But what a wasted talent.
He was pretty incredible. Talent.
He was phenomenal. I mean,
but I don't know if you followed the story of like what he was doing. Like, it's completely unnecessary for a millionaire football player
to be hanging out with thugs the way
to
he
be
was.
Doing what he was doing.
It's awful.
But awful. At the same time, like, you know, those were all his friends or whatever, but just like the reason you play football is so that you can get away from that life, man. Right.
And he was doing that stuff even when he was having success, which absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah.
That he would go and play in a game and then go out that night with his buddies and be involved in situations where
crazy.
He was having his posse roughing people up. It's like, why? Why get
so
mixed
crazy.
Up in all of that? And a lot of it had to do with the fact that when his dad died a decade ago, that he was his biggest fan and biggest supporter. And that, you know, some stories said that that was the turning point for him, that his dad was the one who kept him focused and away from all of the negatives. And once that was removed from his life, so sad. So sad from that point of view. But hey, you know, you are a member of society. You're held accountable to the same rules, and it doesn't matter who you are.
Wait, you're saying you. Do you mean me?
You, me, everybody else.
Oh, okay, good.
You, no, one. You're not. You're above and beyond. You're above all everyone else.
I haven't murdered anyone, John. Not that you could prove anyway.
Well, you haven't murdered anybody near your house and, you know, caught on camera
Oh, you mean I didn't pick up somebody at 4 a.m. and drive them out to a field and shoot them? No, I have not done that.
Yeah, you didn't have documented video with you getting in the car with four people and then getting back to your house and getting out of the car with three.
No. John, look, it's an O.J. Simpson if I was going to murder someone, I would not do it that stupidly.
Okay, good. So maybe a future podcast we can talk about how Jed would off somebody. And yes. Get away with it.
It'll be like an offshoot of the Serial podcast. Murder. It's like,
yeah, it could be Jed's How to Get Away with Murder,
investigating theoretical murders.
Yes, yeah, that could be.
I like show. It. It's our new segment. Forget about it. Are you buying it?
Are you killing it?
Are you killing it? Exactly.
Let's move on to the other big headline from the day. Bill O'Reilly is out at Fox News.
Yes.
And that must have been super hard for Rupert Murdoch, because Rupert Murdoch was rolling in the dough thanks to Mr. Bill.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to give up your wingman when you're sexually assaulting women around the office.
So Ailes first, a bunch of pigs. And then O'Reilly, you know, the two peas in a pod. Basically, Fox News was built on Ailes and O'Reilly. They were both there at the beginning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, their demise, both, you know, within a year of each other for pretty much the exact same thing. Yeah. So to me, those guys thought that the rules didn't apply to them.
Yeah, you know, and it's like maybe some of it's exaggerated, but when it's five and it's $13 million or whatever in lawsuits, it's like, come on, you can't do that anymore.
Well, O'Reilly,
this ain't the 70s or the 80s, man. You can't be slapping butts and you can't be being a creepazoid. You can't do that anymore.
Mad Men doesn't exist anymore. That era is gone.
I will say, though, they gave Tucker Carlson his slot, and I love Tucker Carlson.
I'm not too familiar with this stuff. I've seen him on a couple of the other shows, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with Fox as a result of that.
And I think they're just going to go up.
And O'Reilly's got legions of followers who I think one of the things too is O'Reilly's going down swinging because he says he doesn't agree with this. He says that, you know, it's unfortunate in this, you know, it sounds a lot like Trump, you know,
how
Trump talks is that, you know, it's not true. It's all false, and you're hearing fake news. And so O'Reilly's saying this is fake news, but
here's the thing about O'Reilly saying it's fake news. There's a lot of fake news out there.
There is,
and this is why I get so angry at these mainstream media outlets, and of course the crazy non-mainstream media outlets. Like, stop spreading false news. Like, it's stop doing it. Like, please report accurately.
Can you imagine Walter Cronkite having issues like this?
It's ridiculous. But, you know, like, the crazy thing is, like, to hear Dan Rather lecturing about fake news. Yes. Like, dude, you lost your job over fake news. Right. I don't want to hear you lecturing. You can talk about the news. Sure. You're like, who's that other guy over at, that used to be at NBC that said he was in Afghanistan?
Brian Williams.
Right. Brian Williams. Like, you guys can talk about the news, you can editorial, but don't try to pretend like you guys, like, that's why you can't lie, because when they find out that you lie, then everything you ever say is suspect. That's the only thing we ask of these people. They can be far left or far right. I don't care, but if they lie, then they're done.
But unfortunately, they're not, because they'll go dark for a year or two, and they'll emerge out of the other side on somebody else's show.
Yeah, or he'll just, you know, Bill O'Reilly could probably set up his own thing,
network.
You know,
yeah.
His own web thing. Like, there's lots of money on the web.
Yes, yeah.
You know, or he'll just sign up with, Russia Today or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, it was the writing was on the wall. And the time frame was almost exactly the same. Ailes, the reports came out in the New York Times. Within 2 weeks, he was gone. Same thing here. Came out. About the $13 million that was spent to protect him, and then boom, 2 weeks later, he's out. Yeah. So Fox just, you know, plug and play. We'll keep moving on, but there's a lot of money that disappeared. They took a huge financial hit as a result of the advertising that was lost over the last few weeks.
Still killing it in the ratings, though.
Yeah, and they'll probably a bump this week as a result of it too. So let's move on to the Boston Marathon, because of course everybody on baseball podcasts are talking about the Boston Marathon this week. Patriots Day Monday. The best thing about Patriots Day is the 11 a.m. baseball game, or 8 a.m. out here on the West Coast.
Screws up everyone's fantasy baseball rosters. It's great.
It's like, oh, shit, I didn't wake up in time. But the first woman to officially run in the Boston Marathon and get manhandled and tried to be prevented from running the marathon does it again 50 years later.
Yeah. So it's more like a womarathon. Am I right?
There you go. Yeah. The Womarathon.
But that's pretty incredible to be able to do anything 50 years later.
So she's got to be impressive. In her 70s then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
Like, that's impressive. If I can cut my own food 50 years later.
If I can bend over and tie my shoes 50 years later, I'll be pleased. I'll be happy.
Yeah. Nice.
Let's see. Speaking of cool stories, while it happened in the lightning rod of New York City, Phil Jackson, who came in to rescue the New York Knicks, says that star player Carmelo Anthony is, his tenure might be short. And he had some quote. I don't remember what exactly it was that he said.
It's would be better off somewhere else.
Yeah, that's not an endorsement, I don't think.
Normally, it's a little more subtle, right? With these things, like, well, we're considering some changes to the team.
Yeah, we'll address it in the off season. We have to look at all of our personnel and what our financial obligations are and what our options might be. We're always going to be doing in the best interest of the franchise and our fans. But no.
Yeah, glib innuendo and euphemisms. This is like the nail is being hit right on the head. Carmelo Anthony would be better off somewhere else.
I think Stephen A. countered that with the New York Knicks would be better off without Phil Jackson.
Well, I agree with that completely.
Yeah,
I think he's was an exceptional coach for the Bulls and the Lakers. But
proven in 3 years that he doesn't have that magical touch that he had in his previous two stops. And a lot of it has to do with his impact is probably more from a coaching perspective than a personnel perspective.
Exactly. And it's hard. It's hard to be. I mean, how many different teams have won the NBA championship in the last 15, 20 years? It's five, right? Right.
Yeah, not too many. Yeah, the Spurs, the Bulls.
Spurs, Bulls, Heat, Celtics, Lakers.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything right there.
Warriors. So six.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's totally incredible. So it's, kind of dumb luck. And, he didn't have any dumb luck. And.
And it's been over
out anything effing.
Yeah, it's been over.
I mean, the Porzingis
pick
was a nice pick. I don't know if that was his pick, but that's a.
It was good, and it was booed at the moment of the pick.
It was not popular.
Yeah, but he's been really good. I mean, to have that touch, he reminds me a lot of what's his name with the Mavericks. To have that touch from the
Nowitzki.
Outside,
Nowitzki.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So they have pieces. It'll be interesting. Yeah. And Carmelo Anthony's reputation has not been. Very positive.
No.
He's not the most unselfish player in the league and has a tendency to sulk when things aren't going his way. And he did that in Denver to the point where it's like, get me out of here. I need to be on a contender. And he went to New York and nothing's going on there. So last but not least, we have just a lightning bolt.
Yes, more fake news as far as I'm concerned.
Julia Roberts is the most beautiful woman in the world. How do you feel about that?
I mean, she is a woman, but I don't know about the most beautiful. That's
she might be. I would edit this to say Julia Roberts is a beautiful woman.
But isn't it condescending to say? I mean, I saw one list of the most beautiful women in the world, and Hillary Clinton was number five.
Oof.
And I'm like, okay, look.
Well, there's beautiful.
No,
a being, an essence.
No.
What you stand for.
That still doesn't qualify her.
Not a fan?
Please. Please, come on. Worst candidate in the history of presidential elections. And the only reason why she's not the second worst is because the other guy won.
Right.
I thought he was the worst. this is just some publicist, whatever, or some magazine that's probably going under that's trying to get a little bit extra attention. Instead of just putting out an actual list, they're putting out a list that's like, hey, ooh, surprise. And look, hey, we're talking about it, except here's the thing. We don't care what magazine it was.
It definitely wasn't Maxim, that's for sure.
No, so gross.
Yeah, you have to be, I think, under 25 to make the Maxim list. But again, their audience is, they're pandering to a much younger audience. So maybe this was ARP, AARP magazine?
Yeah, a Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest, right. Right, something like that. Or, Coal Miners Weekly. No, I don't mean any disrespect to Julia Roberts. She is a beautiful woman. I do not know if I would say that she is the world's most beautiful woman.
Look, she may not actually be a beautiful woman, but we'll all agree she's a pretty woman.
Oh, on that note, we'll talk to you next week.
And bye-bye.